You're listening to The Hudson River, a weekly half-hour program about the nature, culture, and beauty of one of America's great waterways. The Hudson River is produced at Vassar College and brought to you in cooperation with this radio station. I'm your host, Mark Breslov. Coming up, we tag along with Dr. Mark Bain almost a year after the September 11th World Trade Center disaster as he studies its effects on the fish and bottom life of the Hudson River. We talk with Rick Nestler and hear a song of his that has become something of an anthem for the Hudson. And we listen to the sounds of what some say is the river's very mouth. All this and more next on the Hudson River.
I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways.
Rick Nestler's The River That Flows Both Ways has become something of a Hudson anthem and may be the most frequently performed song about the river. On this week's Hudson River Culture segment, Nestler tells how Pete Seeger unwittingly inspired the song.
Back in 1979, I went up to Troy, and Pete was talking to this group of people, trying to convince them to build a Clearwater-type boat of their own, a mini Clearwater of their own, and Pete happened to mention that he could be happy just sailing his boat, the Woody Guthrie, back and forth across the Hudson River for the rest of his life. I thought to myself, gee, that sounds pretty good. I could be happy spending my days on the Hudson River. And I just changed the Hudson River to the river that flows both ways because it rhymed better. And from that, the rest of the song grew.
Once a sachem told the story of a land Great Spirit blessed, and the people followed the legend from the great waters in the west, and they stopped where they found that the fishing was good, earth it was fertile, and game ran in the woods. And now
I could be happy spending my day.
First came the trappers, and then the traders, their own fortunes fall to find. And the valley treated them kindly, so the farmers followed close behind. Then the sloop sailed well laden round the Battery with flour from Yonkers, furs from Albany.
I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways.
Yes.
I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways.
Writers and painters have shown its beauty in its waters and on the shore, while musicians sing its praises and keep alive the river's lore. With the sun setting golden o'er the palisades, afternoon ends, the daylight fades.
I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways. I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways.
¶¶ light reflected in Haverstraw Bay. Maybe it's the fog that rolls off the highlands at the break of a brand new day. But apple cider and pumpkins, strawberries and corn, make the people of the river glad they were born. And now I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows both ways. I could be happy spending my days on the river that flows.
For this week's Hudson River feature, we tag along with Cornell University professor Dr. Mark Bain, almost a year to the day after the September 11th World Trade Center disaster. We join Dr. Bain and a rather loud engine aboard the Assepenser, a small research vessel with trawling equipment. We head upriver from 14th Street to one of the sampling sites off Midtown Manhattan.
Can you give me sort of a brief overview of what you're doing here?
Okay, we were asked by the Hudson River Park, which is a waterfront recreation and aquatic sanctuary area being developed by the state of New York and city of New York, to investigate the effect of dredging part of the sanctuary waters in the park so that barges could be used to remove the debris of the World Trade Center loss. And at the time, the Army Corps of Engineers dug out the shoreline area so that big barges could be brought right to the edge of Manhattan Island. So our purpose of our study is to identify whether that resulted in any impact on aquatic organisms, fish, and whether any remedial action should take place. There was no debris from the World Trade Center in the water. What was in the water was sediments that had built up from the time that this side of Manhattan Island was used for shipping. It's no longer active for shipping.
Seems sort of strange at first glance to think about how a collapse, a major calamity like that of the World Trade Center, would have anything to do with marine life.
If the area was active for navigation, it wouldn't have mattered. But since the city and state decided to keep this part of Manhattan's coastline for water-oriented recreation, they also designated the waters out to the pier line 1,000 feet from shore as a marine sanctuary. So it was not to be disturbed anymore. It was to be left for natural use by aquatic life, fish, birds, and people. So that's how it became a concern for impact.
So, but in an emergency of the level of what we saw in the World Trade Center, shouldn't the emergency come first from your perspective?
Yes, and nobody really had any concern that this was something that shouldn't be done. It was reviewed by federal officials and granted a permit for emergency dredging, and I haven't talked to anybody that felt like it shouldn't have been done. But did that have any negative effect on fish habitat? Should anything be done to return the site to the depths and configuration was prior to dredging? And there are federal funds from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help communities recover from disasters and restore the environment.
And there's also an aspect to it, is there not, where FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has an interest in trying to do things in an environmentally correct way, even in the circumstances of a major disaster like that.
They talk about the concept of smart recovery, where they're not there just to alleviate immediate crisis conditions, but restore the public's space and living conditions and environment to a healthy, productive one.
So this research is sponsored by the Hudson River Park Trust, correct? What? Tell us a little bit about them. What are they?
The Park Trust was created in 1998 by an act of New York State and the city of New York to cooperate on developing a 5.5-mile stretch of the Manhattan coastline for water-oriented recreation and public space. It's run by an organization called the Hudson River Park Trust that has members of New York State government, city government, and public citizens. Okay, wait. What we're hearing is a overheating alarm. Is that what that is?
Temperature gun?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's all the people.
It's the extra weight.
See, yeah. I knew that third person. You didn't really want him.
It's okay. It's not a thing. You just have to kind of go a little.
It's just annoying more than anything, that
yeah.
noise.
Right.
Fortunately, the boat restarts successfully, and we arrive at one of the sampling sites off 34th Street, home to the Empire State Building. Backing into the typical undredged shelf of muck between two piers, we listen in to a sonic portrait of trawling for fish as researcher Jeff Eckerland gives a play-by-play.
Are we fishing or are we doing a...
Fishing
first.
All right. Basically just a big cone-shaped net.
I think we'll probably get a couple small ones.
Anchovies.